hearty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Thanks for tuning in this evening. Welcome to another expanded 30-minute edition of the Sunny Side of Sports.
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Yes, my friend.
The Sunny Side of Sports.
Sunny Side of Sports.
The Sunny Side of Sports show.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Sunny Side of Sports right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Today, Friday, marks the fifth anniversary of the death of South Sudanese basketball star Manute Bol. The African giant, 2.31 meters tall, died June 19, 2010, from acute kidney failure at the age of 47. During his 10-year National Basketball Association career, Manute played for four clubs, including the Golden State Warriors, who won the NBA title earlier this week. To remember him, young South Sudanese players on Friday tipped off the 8-day Manute Bol Peace Builders basketball tournament in the capital, Juba. Achue Chol is Manute's sister-in-law and one of the tournament organizers. My VOA colleague James Buddy called her in Juba and asked her why she staged the competition.
Because Manute Bol was a peacemaker and the situation in South Sudan, I thought about that this is the time that using Manute legacy will unite us together.
The children that are participating in the tournament, are they from where? Juba or all over South Sudan?
All over South Sudan. It is actually all the South Sudanese that are taking part on this tournament. All tribes in South Sudan on Friday.
You said to give peace to their war-torn country. It must be frustrating for the young people of South Sudan, given that this conflict is going on. How do young people feel, and why do people like you, what hope do you have by organizing this kind of tournament?
My hope for this is peace. I want the young generation to put down the division and come together. So I believe that basketball can unite us. It can bring the young generation together in the court of basketball.
Now, talk to us a little bit about Manute Bol. I know he played a major role in making sure that the country we know today as South Sudan come about. Unfortunately, he did not see the independence, the referendum, and all that. So can you tell us a little bit about Manute Bol, the person, who he was?
Manute Bol is a man of peace. He loves peace. All his life, he has been committed to his country, working hard for his people. His dreams is to bring better life to his people of South Sudan. Manute Bol would like this young generation to have better life, better education, better country. And basketball was one of his dreams as well. He put all his money towards this country to bring better life for them, better future for better education as well. I thought about it and I thought, let's be a torch for Manute to follow his footsteps and do what he loves. And I'm sure he would have been happy to see today how excited and how happy were the young people meeting in the court of basketball, playing together.
We understand that one of Manute Bol's teams, the Golden State Warriors, which in fact won this year's NBA championship, donated some T-shirts that the children are going to be wearing.
Yes. First of all, let me say congratulations to Golden State Warriors. Golden State Warriors donated 3 boxes of T-shirts, of their own T-shirt to us. They really did well. We are very happy. We would like that Golden State support South Sudan youth basketball team with more teams for the rest of the future. And also not only that, the 12 teams that are taking part on the Manute Bol tournament are very happy to say thank you as well to Golden State Warriors and to congratulate them for winning the champion after 40 years.
That's Achue Chol, one of the organizers of the Manute Bol Peace Builders basketball tournament, And she spoke with my VOA colleague, James Buddy, from Juba, South Sudan. We heard Achiuwe Chole congratulate the Golden State Warriors for their first NBA title in 40 years. The Warriors scored a 105-97 road victory over the Cleveland Cavaliers earlier this week to win the NBA Finals 4-2. Golden State swingman Andre Iguodala, whose father is Nigerian, was named the most valuable player of the NBA Finals. Hey, Andre, are you surprised to receive the award?
I'm not surprised because I'm that confident in my game. I'm too hard on myself most of the time. I'm not surprised, but I would have bet on Steph. I would have bet on Draymond. Draymond's been great for us all year, and very, very high IQ guy. And this is the type of series where he can get triple-double numbers every night. And we saw it in the Houston series, and I knew it would carry over. So those two guys I would have bet on. And I was just happy we were winning the ring. Like, I didn't really care about anything else. This is just a plus.
That's Andre Iguodala of the Golden State Warriors, the most valuable player of the NBA Finals. Golden State's head coach is Steve Kerr, who won 5 NBA titles as a player, and now his first as a coach. If you're keeping score, VOA basketball fans, that gives Kerr 6 championship rings, the same number won by his former Chicago Bulls teammate Michael Jordan. Coach Kerr, who's your pick for NBA Finals Most Valuable Player?
You could make an argument that it could have gone to Steph, it could have gone to LeBron, but for us, it's really fitting that the award went to Andre because he sacrificed his starting role from the first game of the season. He had never come off the bench once in his entire career, and he sacrificed that job to make Harrison better, to make our bench better, and that set the tone for our whole season. An all-star, an Olympian, saying, okay, I'll come off the bench. It set the tone for everything we were able to accomplish, so it feels like full circle to me that Andre received the award. Couldn't happen to a better person.
Thanks, Coach. That's Steve Kerr, the head coach of the Golden State Warriors, the 2015 National Basketball Association champions.
They're playing
I'm Segun Adeyemi, coming to you all the way from Lagos, Nigeria. Weekends are for sports. Nightline Africa Sports, that is. And every Sunday, I'll give you highlights of the top sports stories of the past week and the weekend. Nightline Africa Sports from the Voice of America. Let the games begin.
We got the game on.
This is for the world.
This is Larry Zamuje, Chairman, Chief Executive, Sports Radio 80.9, Brilla FM, Lagos and Abuja, Nigeria. Let's talk to you about Brilla FM. It's Nigeria's only sports station, of course, with partner, the VOA.
VOA!
And so you can listen to Sunny Side of Sports on 80.9, Brilla FM, Lagos and Abuja. Keep listening, Africa, and enjoy Sunny Side of Sports on Brilla.
Thanks, Dr. Larry. In addition to Sports Radio, 88.9 Brilla FM stations in Lagos and Abuja, Dr. Larry also has stations in Kaduna and Onitsha, Nigeria. We're delighted to be your partner, Dr. Larry, so keep it sporty.
The Voice of America, VOA.
Joining us now with more sports news is the VOA's Daybreak Africa sportsman, Mark Ouma. And Mark's opening serve is African women's volleyball.
Tunisia beat Morocco 25-16, 25-21, 21-25 and 25-21 in the fifth place playoff at the Women's African Nations Volleyball Championships in Nairobi, Kenya on Thursday. Earlier on, Mauritius outplayed Botswana 17-25, 25-21, 25-19 and 25-21 in the seventh place playoff. Tomorrow Saturday, Senegal play Cameroon in the bronze medal playoff before Algeria challenge defending champions Kenya in the final. Turning to football, Mali plays Senegal in the bronze medal playoff at the men's FIFA Under-20 World Cup in Auckland, New Zealand tomorrow Saturday. Later, Brazil plays Serbia in the final. Elsewhere, Cameroon encounter China in the second round at the FIFA Women's World Cup in Edmonton, Canada. In Namibia, the Council of Southern Africa Football Association's COSAFA Cup champions Namibia host Zambia in the opening leg of their Orange Africa Nations Championship qualifier in Windhoek tomorrow Saturday. Playing in front of their fans for the first time after winning the COSAFA Cup in South Africa, coach Ricardo Manetti reckons Namibia's brave warriors have what it takes to carry the day.
To keep the momentum going from COSAFA with these qualifiers, to keep the same momentum going. We're going to face our familiar opponents, which is Zambia. We met them at COSAFA. They are going to lose a few players because they didn't play their Chan team. We also didn't play our Chan team. So it was a mixture of professional players and local players. So that will be a very interesting game. The good thing and the positive thing for me is the fact that we will play them first in Windhoek. And we're very positive that we will get a good result there. And then we take care of the away match.
That was Ricardo Manetti, the Namibia Brave Warriors coach, speaking in Windhoek, Namibia. Elsewhere, in other Orange Africa Nations Championship qualifiers, Senegal play Gambia, South Africa engage Mauritius, Guinea-Bissau challenge Mali, Mauritania face Sierra Leone, and Djibouti play Burundi. Tanzania face Uganda, Mozambique play Seychelles, as Zimbabwe host Comoro Islands. On Sunday, Ethiopia welcome Kenya, Lesotho host Botswana, Swaziland engage Angola, and Morocco play Libya. I'm Mark Ouma in Johannesburg, South Africa, wishing you all a sporty weekend.
Thanks, Mark. And we're wishing you a sporty weekend, too. Well, our African football guru, David Legg, has been looking at the recent 2017 Nations Cup qualifiers played across the continent. There were 25 matches in total, spanning 13 qualifying groups. In Group H, the Black Stars of Ghana got off to a great start at home in Accra, where they trounced Mauritius 7-1. And Rwanda traveled to Mozambique and scored a 1-0 road victory. How do you see Group H, David?
You know, Sonny, Ghana did not make it easy for me at the weekend. The second half of Congo, Kenya was on. I was watching that, and I was also keeping an eye on Ghana and Mauritius. And every time I turned to the Ghana match, I discovered they'd scored yet another goal. It just never stopped. By halftime, it was 5-1. The record-winning margin, Sonny, for a Cup of Nations qualifier is 8 goals. It's been achieved by Kenya and by Libya. And when Ghana were 5-1 up at halftime, I thought to myself, hey, there's a chance for record here. But I guess to the relief of the Mauritians, the Ghanaians didn't take their foot completely off the pedal in the second half, but they certainly moved back a gear or two because they were in overdrive in the first half, and they settled for a 7-1 victory. And that was achieved, Sonny, despite the fact that they had to play on a very unimpressive pitch at the Accra Sports Stadium. A little word of advice to Ghanaian football officials. If you want your national team to play really good football, and they are certainly capable of doing that, give them a good surface to play on. The pitch, Sonny, was an absolute disgrace, one of the worst I've seen for a long time, cut up all over the place. So congratulations to the Black Stars. Despite the pitch, they still managed to win by 7-1. Now, who scored? Well, Jordan Ayew, he scored a brace. Asamoah Gyan, no surprise there, the Predator-in-Chief, he scored a brace. And then Christian Atsu, top player at the 2015 Africa Cup of Nations, he was on target. Schlupp, who plays for Leicester City in England, he scored. And 2 minutes into stoppage time, David Akam scored the final Ghanaian goal. And Mauritius, their lone goal came from Sophie after 32 minutes. Congratulations to Rwanda, one of only three countries to win away from home. Their coach, Johnny McKinstry, is from Northern Ireland, and he's only 29 years of age, very much a member of the kindergarten of international coaches. And he saw Ernest Sugira, a huge striker, head home after just 3 minutes. And for the rest of the game, the Rwandans successfully defended that lead. And that's a big surprise. And I think, Sonny, also a big boost to the Rwandans. My gut feel this early in the competition is if they can beat the Mozambicans at home as well, and if you win in Maputo, there's no reason why they cannot win in Kigali. And if they can also beat the Mauritians home and away, they will have 12 points. So despite the fact that they're likely to lose home and away to Ghana, Rwanda would then be in contention for one of those two precious second places. Ghana and Rwanda, 3 points each, but the Ghanaians, of course, because of that 7-1 victory, way ahead on goal difference. And in the next series of matches, Mauritius will be at home to Mozambique, and Rwanda will play Ghana. And I guess, Sonny, as far as how good is this Rwandan team, a lot of those questions will be answered when Ghana come to Kigali in early September.
In Group I, David, only one match played in Khartoum. Sudan defeats Sierra Leone 1-0. Your thoughts?
Yes, Sonny. Ramadan Agab from the penalty spot after 77 minutes gave Sudan a 1-0 win over Sierra Leone and a much better start for the Desert Hawks. And in the 2:15 qualifiers, when I did watch their match in Khartoum against South Africa, and they took a 3-goal drubbing. I want to clarify a couple of things, Sonny, about this group. There seems to be an awful lot of confusion. This is a group with only three teams, and Ivory Coast, the defending champions, have a bye. But Gabon will play what have been called compulsory friendlies against whichever country has a bye. So at the weekend, they played Ivory Coast and Libreville, and the match finished in a goalless draw. Now, I salute CAF for this. I think it's a good idea so that Gabon get plenty of practice. But somewhere along the line, things have got muddled, and people seem to think that the Ivory Coast-Gabon match was part of the group. That is not the case, Sonny. As is always the situation with the Cup of Nations, the host country, they automatically qualify for the finals. I mean, you cannot possibly consider having a 16-team tournament in Gabon and not having Gabon as part of that tournament. So just to clarify, Group I consists of Sudan, Ivory Coast, and Sierra Leone. And whichever country plays Gabon, that match is a friendly. It's not actually part of the group. The one big disadvantage in this group, Sonny, is that only the group winners will qualify. There will not be a second-place team in consideration for one of those two extra places. And that's pretty tough, really, on Sudan and Sierra Leone, because you've got to fancy Ivory Coast to win this group. The next fixture on September 4, 5, or 6, Sierra Leone at home to Ivory Coast. And because of the Ebola epidemic, that match may not be played in Freetown.
David, let's turn to Group J now. Algeria and Ethiopia score victories. The Algerians beat the Seychelles 4-0 at home in Blida, and Ethiopia tops Lesotho 2-1. Your thoughts on Group J, David?
Sonny, it might seem strange to praise a team that have lost 4-0, but I actually think Seychelles did quite well. I was fearing the worst for them. They've got very limited resources. It's one of the smallest countries in Africa. It's an island state off the east coast. Their coaches admitted they've got no players based overseas. And I watched them recently at the CASAFA Cup here in South Africa, and they're pretty limited. But what they do have is good organization. It worked well in the CASAFA Cup in three matches. They only conceded 2 goals. But they go to Blida to play Algeria. Now, Algeria are ranked number one in Africa. And I always sense that if the Algerians got an early goal, that could be an avalanche and it could become embarrassing for the Seychelles. Well, Slimani did score after 21 minutes and Sudani scored a second after 34. So it was 2-0 at halftime. And then when Sudani scored his second goal and Algeria's third, just 2 minutes into the second half, I guess the Seychelles bench must have been, their heartbeats were were just going that little bit quicker. But to their credit, they then held the Desert Foxes until the very last minute when Ben Taleb scored a fourth goal. So in many ways, Sonny, a routine victory for Algeria. No less than you would have expected, but probably slightly better from the Seychelles' point of view than it could have been. The other match in Addis Ababa, much closer. Lesotho took the lead in the first half. Ethiopia equalized, and then 12 minutes from the end, Said, who plays for Ethiopia and also plays his club football in Egypt, he snatched the winner. But this is one group, Sonny, where I'm going to safely predict the winners will be Algeria. I do not really give Ethiopia, Lesotho, or the Seychelles a chance. I think those three countries, what they'll be doing is competing for second place. In the next series of matches, Algeria make the long trip south to play Lesotho in Maseru, and Ethiopia play Seychelles in Victoria, and that will be, of course, a much shorter trip.
In Group K, David, Senegal and Niger both win at home. The Senegalese defeated Burundi 3-1, while Niger edged Namibia 1-0. Your thoughts on Group K, David?
Pretty much as expected, Sonny. In Dakar, Senegal, as you said, 3-1 over Burundi, although the third goal, the one that clinched victory from Sadio Mane of Southampton, that came in the very last minute, and that will encourage the Burundians, who equalized in the second half, but then another English-based player, Diop from Stoke City, put the Senegalese back in front. Namibia, I guess, Sonny, will be a little bit disappointed because they recently won the Cassava Cup. They were cock-a-hoop, but they had to make a long trip to Niamey. It's one of the hottest places in Africa. And it was a goal from the penalty spot by Saku after 34 minutes that gave Niger the edge. These are the sort of fixtures, Sonny, where you always feel home advantage plays a key role. If tomorrow those same two countries were to meet in Windhoek, my prediction would be that Namibia would win. As I said with the previous group, you do fancy Senegal here and feel that Niger, Namibia and Burundi will be fighting it out to see who finishes runners-up. For the moment, the Senegalese are just ahead of Niger on goal difference. And in the second series of matches, Burundi will have home advantage over Niger in Bujumbura, and Namibia will welcome Senegal to Windhoek.
Let's turn to Group L, David. Swaziland defeats Guinea 2-1, and this match was played in Casablanca, Morocco, because of the Ebola crisis in Guinea. And in the other group match, Zimbabwe defeats host Malawi 2-1. Your thoughts on this group, David?
This was the group of shock, Sonny. Both away victories, both completely unexpected. And if you've got to say who were the team of the weekend, I would nominate Swaziland. In 20 previous Cup of Nations away matches, they had never won. They went to Casablanca, which was the home of Guinea. And remember, Guinea in the previous competition also played all their home games in the Stade Mohammed V, so they know the ground very well. Sabedzi gave the Swazis an early lead. Kamano equalized midway through the second half. And then Sabedzi again. He's 31 years of age. He has played at times in South Africa. He's now back in Swaziland. He snatched the winner 5 minutes from the end. And when you consider, Sonny, that these Swazi footballers, they're all part-timers. I mean, some of them are policemen or carpenters, electricians, plumbers. They're not full-time footballers. This is a tremendous achievement. And if we're going to give a sunny side of sport high five for the first match day in the Cup of Nations, I'm giving it to the team known as the King's Shield. That's Swaziland. A great victory. Their first away victory in the Cup of Nations. Well done to the boys from Swaziland. Another upset in Blantyre. Zimbabwe taking the lead through Malagila, an equalizer from John Banda within a minute, and then an amazing winning goal from Kama Biliot, 7 minutes from time for the Zimbabwean Warriors. It was a classic cross-come shot. The ball slipped over the Malawian goalkeeper and into the far corner of the net. I think the most surprised person wasn't the goalkeeper. It was actually the goal scorer, Kama Biliot. Now, this was a great victory, Sonny, for a number of reasons. Zimbabwe, traditionally poor travelers, but also they missed their flight. I regret to say, Zimbabwean football officials, not the sharpest in Africa. And the team then had to go by bus up to the top of Zimbabwe, through Zambia, and into Malawi. And that's on the eve of the match. And that is absolutely no way to prepare for such a vital game as your first in a Cup of Nations qualifying tournament. So we gave a high five to Swaziland, Sonny. I think it's only fair that we also give a high five to Zimbabwe. Despite all their problems, and they, remember, are a cash-crippled National Football Association, they pulled off a 2-1 away victory. And as a result of that, the Malawi coach, Young Chimodzi, has become the first casualty. Just one match into the qualifier, Sonny, he has been sacked. In the next round of matches, Swaziland will be at home to Malawi and Zimbabwe at home to Guinea. And we have this incredible situation that could develop where after two rounds, Swaziland and Zimbabwe have 6 points each. And the teams that were expected to dominate the group, Malawi and Guinea, have no points each. And I don't have to tell you, Sonny, that's an awful long way to have to come back with four rounds to go.
Finally, in Group M, David, the indomitable Lions of Cameroon move to the top of the table with a 1-0 victory over Mauritania in Yaounde. And South Africa and Gambia play to a scoreless draw in Durban. How do you see this group, David?
Well, a surprise, Sonny, and almost a surprise. It took Cameroon 90 minutes before they scored against Mauritania. Vincent Aboubakar, who plays for Porto in the Portuguese League, he snatched the only goal. Some strange refereeing decisions by all accounts in this match, and also a number of missed chances by the Cameroonians, but scraping home. And that's something the South Africans could not do. They just cannot score goals, Sonny. Two recent 0-0 draws in the CASAFA Cup. And now Gambia. Now, if you look at it, South Africa ranked 18 in Africa and Gambia are ranked 44. But nevertheless, the Gambians come to the fortress of South Africa, the Moses Mabhida Stadium in Durban, and they hold out for a 0-0 draw, a very encouraging result for the new Gambian coach, the Swiss Raoul Savoy and his team. And we could have some surprises in this group. If you think about it, Mauritania coming within a couple of minutes of holding Cameroon and Gambia holding South Africa. Cameroon on top with 3 points, Gambia and South Africa with one each. In the next round of matches, the two minnows of Group M will have home advantage. Gambia will host Cameroon and Mauritania will host South Africa. And if Gambia and Mauritania can win those matches, it's all up for grabs, Sonny, in that Group M. And finally, a reminder, the 13 group winners qualify for the finals, along with the host Gabon, and also the best two runners-up from the 12 four-team groups. So 2 out of 12, or 1 out of 6, so it's not a lot, Sonny. And my guess is you will probably need 12 points, in other words, 4 victories to be competitive as far as one of those second spots are concerned.
Thanks, David. That's our African football guru, David Legg, speaking with us once again from Johannesburg, South Africa. Follow the Sunny Side of Sports on Facebook and Twitter. My Facebook address is facebook.com/VOASunny. And my Twitter handle is @VOASunnySports. If you go to my Facebook page, you'll see a wonderful photo of Cameroonian striker Jeannette Yango celebrating with fans at Commonwealth Stadium in Edmonton, Canada. Jeannette and the indomitable Lionesses of Cameroon will be back on the pitch in Edmonton Saturday when they play the Steel Roses of China in the round of 16 at the Women's World Cup in Canada. Cameroon is only the second African team in history to reach the knockout stage at the Women's World Cup. Nigeria did it at the 1999 tournament here in the United States. And the Sunny Side of Sports says, go, indomitable Lionesses! Make it to the quarterfinals! And that wraps up another expanded edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. I want to thank Voice of America engineer Sule Terawali for his fine work behind the glass. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.